puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsborough. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, every year around this time, you bring us a list of heritage sites that are at risk. And is that what we're talking about this week?
Yes, it is. And in fact, for the past 7 years, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, has released a list of 10 heritage structures around the province that we believe are at risk of loss. But this year, we're expanding the criteria. So instead of focusing just on buildings or other built structures, we are looking at endangered historical resources more broadly.
And so what's the purpose of compiling these lists each year?
Well, people often ask us this. And, you know, I think many historical resources are in such precarious condition that all it would take is one small event, a storm, a fire, some vandalism, you know, maybe a structural failure, and that could mean the difference between survival and loss. So what we want to do is we want to draw attention to that vulnerability in the hopes that it'll spark discussion and ultimately maybe encourage collaboration, creative action before these things disappear. So we want to get people talking, if nothing else.
So let's start with the newest item, which is not even a building.
No, it's a remarkable piece of public art. It's called The Wall, and it was created by Manitoba artist Bruce Head between 1977 and 1978. And it forms the inner facade of the circular walkway underneath Portage and Main. So if you've been to Portage and Main, you walked underground, you undoubtedly have seen that massive wall. It's literally the largest cast-in concrete artwork by an artist in all of Canada. And it's made, if you've looked at it carefully, you've noticed that it's made of hundreds of unique sort of cutout shapes. And, well, when you ask people what they are, they give various answers. Some people say, oh, it looks like a fossil. Some people say it looks like a bird. Or some people say, oh, it's stars. Well, I think that's the kind of thing that fosters imagination. But now that the above-ground crosswalks have reopened and, you know, people can walk across the street again, well, the future of the underground concourse is uncertain. They say it could cost a lot of money to restore it. And that, I think, puts the sculpture at risk. The question, I think, is, will that sculpture be preserved or will it be salvaged in pieces? Or, I mean, I guess this is one other possibility. It may be buried and then eventually rediscovered by archaeologists in the distant future. They'll be digging and, what's this thing? Alien artwork.
Now, next on the list is a modernist housing complex.
Right, a public housing unit that was designed by an architect named Gustavo De Rosa. He was the architect behind the Winnipeg Art Gallery, and this particular building in the sort of Lord Roberts area was constructed in 1976. It's a low, white, sort of human-scale building. It has suspended sunscreens and colorful panels. Unfortunately, Manitoba Housing, that owns it, has listed it for demolition in order to make way for a new build. And now, given its design pedigree, I think it deserves a serious consideration, not for demolition, but for rehabilitation and creative reuse. You know, there is a precedent for refitting public buildings rather than tearing them down. And I hope that means that this could remain a functional, familiar home for tenants, you know, frankly, at a time when we need more public housing.
The town of Leaf Rapids has been in the news lately. How does its town centre fit into this list?
Well, effectively, it's one enormous building, and it's an endangered, well, in fact, the town itself, you could say, is an endangered heritage resource. But the town center that was designed by noted architect Les Stetchison, widely believed to be perhaps Manitoba's most noteworthy architect still alive, well, this was a visionary 1970s experiment in which they enclosed virtually all of the services that the town would require. So this one building contains a hospital, a school, a library, a hotel, an arena, curling rink, shops, restaurants, you name it, it was contained under one roof. International delegations came to admire and study it. But unfortunately, because, of course, Leaf Rapids was a one-horse town, you know, a one-industry town, I suppose, and its population has declined with the closure of that mine that sustained the town for so many years, The building's future is, I think, tied to the town's survival, and any viable future for the town center will require major intervention, I think.
Now, the next item on the list has a surprising architectural pedigree.
Right. You know, I think many people, maybe most people, will have heard of an architect named Etienne Gabory. Well known internationally, in fact, perhaps one of the most well-known Manitoba architects ever. What is maybe less well known is that in his early career, he did quite a few designs outside of Winnipeg, including the former high school in the village of Mariapolis. It was called the Mariapolis Collegiate, and it was built in 1962. It later, after it closed, served as a clothing factory before it was then purchased by a First Nation and renamed Indian Springs School. But they've moved out again, and unfortunately, that means that the building is vacant. In fact, as far as I can tell, it's been vacant for a few decades. It's really a striking building. It has that Gabory influence. You know, there's some distinctive wooden beams that poke out of the roof line, windows near the top that literally flood the interior with light. It's really a shame to see a building that is so creative and I think looks to me structurally intact, to see it just sitting there is really a shame.
Your annual list would not be complete without a grain elevator. Tell us more.
Well, we go now to the village of Napinka in southwestern Manitoba, where we have two grain elevators from the 1920s. One was built by the Ogilvie Flour Mills, the other by Manitoba Pool. And they were one of hundreds at one time. Manitoba had over 700 elevators at one time, now just over 100, and only about half of those are being used. So, you know, they are a diminishing breed. And these two in Napinka, they were closed after being used for a number of years by a private farmer, and they were used until 2000. They've stood empty ever since, and they're in increasingly dilapidated condition. There are rumors that demolition is imminent. We haven't been able to confirm those, so who knows, but I'm predicting not very long from now.
The next entry represents a whole cultural tradition, correct?
Yes. You know, it's a rare surviving example of a Ukrainian national home. And it wasn't a home in the residential sense. It was a place you could come and connect with your Ukrainian roots. And, you know, these were centers of a community. You know, they provided a place for hosting libraries about Ukrainian culture, drama groups, music, but also all of the various community functions that would happen in a community. There aren't very many of them around the province anymore. And the one that we are on our list is the only one, as far as we know, in a truly rural setting. It's in the community of Ruthenia, and if you ask the question, where's that? Well, it's south of Riding Mountain National Park. This particular one built in 1931, and we think it's especially vulnerable because of the fact that it's rural, because the community that it once served has largely dispersed. And so thinking about what could happen to the building, you know, there's not much possibility of it being continue in use for a hall because there just isn't many people in the area. So we're thinking maybe relocation to a museum could be the best course of action.
Now, the next item should sound familiar to regular listeners.
Well, I hope so. If you were listening 5 weeks ago, you heard me talk about a building in Brandon that was constructed for the 1927 Summer Fair in Brandon. And it was a space for displaying the programs and services of the provincial government. Well, unfortunately, time has not been kind to that building. It still stands. It's actually right next to the beautiful Dominion Exhibition Building. And, unfortunately, today, well, they say it's been used for cold storage. That's usually a euphemism for just whatever junk you don't want, you just stick it in there. The roof leaks, and we're told. There are broken windows that let the pigeons get in, and that's never a good thing. But, you know, there's things about it that just really tug at my heart. So, in fact, if you look around the building to the old entrance on the east side, you will see the words that they put up there to welcome people to the fair. And I think these words, to me, still resonate. They are education, agriculture, industry, commerce, cooperation, conservation, progress, and thrift. And come on, Manitobans, we're known for our thrift. Who doesn't like thrift? So if nothing else from this building survives, if people say, no, got to tear it down, I really do hope they preserve at least that facade.
Now, the next one's unusual. It's an archive rather than a building.
And again, it's a recent topic of our conversations here. It's the Manitoba Air Photo Library. Again, not a building per se, but I think an incredibly valuable historic resource. Over 1 million aerial images of Manitoba dating back as far as 1923, over 100 years ago. And it's a wonderful resource for understanding how Manitoba's landscape has changed through the years. Unfortunately, the provincial government closed the map sales office that housed the library, and that closure occurred in 2025, you know, so recently. And we've been asking questions, you know, what is the plan going forward? And the province has promised updates on things like digitization, but key questions do remain. For example, will the original photos be saved or just digital scans of them? Will public access be maintained? We don't know. And it's that uncertainty that allows this library to be put on this year's list.
Number 9 on your list relates to the pressure being faced by rural churches.
It does. You know, the United Church has deep roots in Manitoba, especially in rural communities. Often the church is the center of the community. The one we've included on this year's list is the one in Kenton. It's a beautiful brick church that has been the anchor of the community since 1904, but like a lot of rural congregations, it is struggling with the same issues, declining membership, a shortage of ministers, and the building, well, unfortunately, as far as we can tell, it's been largely vacant for the last couple of years. They have had periodic services, but, you know, nothing that's really going to sustain that church. And yet, we find examples around Manitoba where they have taken these churches and turned them to uses such as, well, maybe a community church for several faiths or other creative repurposing. You know, there's art centers and other things they could use the building for. So we really hope something happens creatively in Kenton.
Finally, the oldest item on your list, dating from 1853, one of Winnipeg's most iconic landmarks.
And that would be the Upper Fort Garry Gate. You know, it's the only above-ground remnant of the Hudson's Bay Company fort that used to stand at the junction of the Assiniboine and Red Rivers here. And of course, as anyone who studies history knows, it was the site of events that brought Manitoba into Confederation. So it's a truly important place. It was saved from destruction originally many years ago through the advocacy of my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, and it's now in a provincial heritage park. And you'd think that would mean it's protected, but we're not so sure because we see evidence to the contrary. There is graffiti, fire damage, visible cracks in the stonework. And in my personal case, I had experience one time a few weeks ago when I walked through there late at night. The lighting is completely inadequate. I could see how there would be real security problems. So it's a reminder that even the most important historic places in our province need vigilance or we risk losing them. And I think that's the entire point in releasing this annual endangered list.
If listeners want to explore the full list, where should they go?
Well, they can find not just the full list, which has a few more details than I've given this morning, but also links to the preceding 7 years of lists. Go to mhs.mb.ca/endangered.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, we're taking a walk in the park, literally, to talk about the business of benches.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.